This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, Rabbi. Shalom Aleichem. We continue Daf HaShavua. We're learning Masechas Ksubos, Shas Katan, Daf Yud Chesam and Aleph. We begin 6 lines from the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara wanted to know why does the Mishnah have to say Umay de Rabbi Yeshua, that if I say this field belonged to your father and I bought it from him, that you're believed because Pesha Aser, Pesha Hitter. But if we had Edim that it belonged to the father, you're not believed. Why can we talk about where I say that, believe me, that this field I used to belong to you and I bought it from you, because I didn't have to admit that I bought it from you. I could have said it was always mine. Why do we have to get the father involved? The Gemara wants to know, why don't we pick a case where you say that I bought it from you? So the Gemara said earlier, well, if you made 3 years chazaka, then you should be believed. And if you didn't make 3 years chazaka, then even the father. So the Gemara says, well, so by you also, the Gemara said, by the father as well, if you ate it for 3 years chazaka, you should be believed. And if you didn't, then you should not be believed. So the Gemara says, by the father, you could have a case where you ate it 2 years in his presence and 1 year after he died. And the chiddush is that it's not a good chazaka, not in his presence. So the Gemara conjured up a different case. The Gemara said, well, why can't it be you made 2 years chazaka in his... In other words, talk about where you say, I bought it directly from you. And you made 2 years of chazaka in the guy's presence, and 1 year of chazaka where the guy had to run away. So Gemara wanted to know, why did he run away? If he ran away because his life's on the line, of course you're not believed because he can't protest. And if he ran away because of financial considerations, he should have protested where he was, because we hold macha shaloi b'fanav is a good macha. In other words, the Gemara had a kasha, why don't we talk about where you say that you bought it directly from the guy and you ate it 2 years of chazak in his presence and 1 year not in his presence? Because the Gemara says, in that case, even if there ate him that it used to belong to him, it's a good chazakah because he should have protested. So now what we need to do today is we need to prove macha shaloi b'fanav havya macha, where if somebody's on your field and you're out of town and you can't be back, you could protest from where you are and you could assume that the guy occupying your field will hear about it. So we're trying to prove macha shaloi b'fanav havya macha. Detnan, we learned in a Mishnah in Baba Basra. Shalosh aratzos lechazaka. There are three distinct lands for chazaka. There's Yehuda, the region of Judah. Ve'evar Yarden, there's the Transjordan. Ve'hagalil, there's the Galil. Haya b'Yehuda ve'hechzik b'Galil. Let's say the previous owner was in Yehuda, and there's an occupier in the Galil. Or b'Galil, the previous owner is in Galil, ve'hechzik b'Yehuda, and someone's occupying your field in Yehuda. Ein a chazaka, it's not a chazaka. Ad shehei imay b'medina. Unless the occupier and the owner are in the same region. Vahavinamba, we asked on this Mishnah. Maika Savar, what is the Tana of this Mishnah hold? Ika Savar Macha Shaloi b'fanav Havi Macha, if he holds that a protest not in the presence of the occupier is a good protest, then it should be a good chazaka, even from Yehuda to Galil. Why does the Mishnah say Ein a chazaka afilu b'Yehuda v'Galil nami? It should be a good chazaka even from Yehuda to Galil. V'i kasavar macha shaloi b'fanav loy havi macha. And if the Tana holds macha not in his presence is not a good macha, because it's never going to reach the ear of the occupier, then even if you're in the same region but not in the in a different city or in a different area, afilu Yehuda v'Yehuda nami, even if the owner and the occupier were in the same region, it should not be a valid chazaka because the occupier cannot be moicha. So Tosis wants to know, why are we focused on whether a macha, not in the presence of the occupier, is a good macha? Why don't we talk about the element of why, whether the chazaka, not in the presence of the original owner, is a good chazaka or not? Why are we focused on whether the occupier will hear about the protest of the original owner? Why don't we focus on whether the original owner will hear about the occupier occupying his field? And Tosfos says, well, someone occupying your field, that you'll definitely hear about. That was never debatable. The debate is whether it will, because that some people are going to talk about that. People are going to talk about there's someone on the field. But whether the word spreads that the original owner protests, that's what's debatable. So the Gemara doesn't understand how to explain this Mishnah. Miman of Shach. If Macha Shalai Befan of Havi Macha, then in two different regions it should work. If it Loi Hava Macha, then even in the same region it should not be a Chazaka. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal. Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal said, La'olam Kesavra Macha Shalai Befan of Havi Macha. Really, Macha, not in his presence, is a Macha. Umas Nisin B'Shas Cherem Shani. And the Mishnah is talking about a time of cherem, where word does not travel from one region to the next. Umayishna Yehuda v'Galil d'Nakad. If we're talking about a situation where there is some kind of lack of some kind of excommunication, some kind of shutdown of travel, then why only Yehuda v'Galil? Any two regions. Umayishna Yehuda v'Galil d'Nakad. Says the Gemara, the Stam Yehuda v'Galil k'shas cherem dami, because that Yehuda v'Galil are typical examples of regions where there is cherem. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to go through various possibilities of why the Mishnah has to say that Rabbi Yeshua's Maida, that if I say this field used to belong to your father and I bought it from him, then we have a migu, which the Gemara says Rabbi Yeshua normally doesn't hold of migu. Because who says I would have claimed the better claim? But in a situation where ein shar shachel lefanecha, where nobody is demanding anything from me, and I'm on my own volition, I'm offering information, then Rabbi Yeshua holds of what we call pesha asar hu pesha hitter. Why do we have to talk about a case of karka? Why can't we conjure up a case of pesha asar, pesha hitter, in a case of movables? Says Gemara, v'lisni moide Rabbi Yeshua ba'oimer lechaveroi, mana lavisi mimcha uparativ lecha. Why can't we say Rabbi Yeshua's moide, where you say to your friend, I lent you a mana, and I paid you back, because I'm neman. To believe me that I lent you money, I paid you back, because I didn't have to say that I lent it to you. You didn't come to me and say that. Where you say I borrowed money and I paid you back. So I come to you and say, you know, I borrowed $100 and I paid you back. You didn't come to me and say I lent you $100. Had I not woken up, you wouldn't have said anything to me. I'm the one who came to you. I borrowed $100 and I paid you back. So why don't we say Rabbi Yeshua is Maida if I say I borrowed $100 and I paid you back, Shu Neman. Says the Gemara, well, Mishum de Kabay la Misni Sefer wanted to teach the Sefer that im yesh edim shu lava mimenu, if they're witnesses that I borrowed it and I say that I paid it, Eino Neman. And that wouldn't be true, because in fact, if they're edim that I borrowed from you, and you don't claim anything, why can't I say I paid you back? Someone who lends money with Edim doesn't have to pay back with Edim. I could pay back without Edim. So if I on my own come to you and I say, you know, I borrowed $100 and I paid you back, then I'm them on, even if they're Edim, that I borrowed the money. Okay. Now the Gemara has another possibility. V'lisni moida Rabbi Yeshua bar Melchaveray, mana le'avicha biadi. Ve'achaltiv pras. Let's establish a few rules. Number one, if you come to me and say, you know, Gladstein, I lent you $100, and I say, yeah, true, I paid you back 50, and I paid you back 50, and the other 50 I owe you. And you say, what are you talking about? You didn't pay me anything. So that's called Moed B'Miktsas. Moed B'Miktsas has to swear Shvur D'Oraisa. We learned that from the Pasuk, Asher Yamar Kihuzah. So you claim you owe me $100. I say I only owe you 50. Paid you back 50 already. So then that's a Moed B'Miktsas. But what about the following case? Listening, Moed B'Mishuv Ba'Om L'Chaveray, Mana Le'Avicha B'Yadi. Your father lent me $100. V'Achalte Pras. And I ate part of it. I paid back 50. And I owe 50. Shuhunema, that you're believed. Rashi says, I paid back 50, that you're Neman, without a Shvuah. Now normally, it's a Moed B'Miktsas, but in this case, Rashi says, it's Ein Shar Shach Lefanecha. You didn't claim that I owe your father 50. I, on my own volition, said, your father lent me 100, and I paid him back 50. So normally this is a Moed B'Miktsas, is a Shvuah D'Oraisa here. But in this case, where I'm the one who is on my own volition admitting to this, then I'm Pater, Pesha Aser, Pesha Hitter, because you're not being Toiveya. And Rabbi Yeshua is Moed in that case. So Gemara says, no, we can't pick that case. Aliba the man, who would this go like? Rashi brings over here, there's a machlokes tanoim about this issue in Masechta Shavuos. And Rabbi Yeshua, now the Gemara is saying, is not going to fit into either man de amar. Because the Rabbanon are of the opinion that even if you are toiveya, you know, your father, my father lent you $100, and I'm moed b'miktsas, the Rabbanon hold I'm pater, because they say I'm a meshiv aveda. Because the halacha is, Rashi brings, that the Gemara and Shavuos tells us that if children say, our father lent you $100, and I say, no, I only owe him $50, I'm pater, I'm a meshiv aveda. Why am I a meshiv aveda? Because we're going to see, I'm a meshiv aveda, because it's true you're being toiveya me. But the reason why Moed B'Miktsas is Chayev, normally Moed B'Miktsas, you could ask, why is Moed B'Miktsas Chayev? Why don't you have a Migu? I could have been Kaifer HaKol. Believe me that I paid back 50 because I could have said I never owed you the money in the first place. So normally we say, no, a person would not have the audacity to deny it outright. But against the son, if I say, my father lent you $100, I would have the audacity to say, Lahadam, this never happened. Lo Hayah Advar Me'olam. In other words, the Rabbanim are of the opinion that when a child claims that someone owes a borrowed money from their father, anything that person admits to is out of the goodness of his heart, because there's no reason he doesn't have the audacity to completely deny it. Maybe somebody would not have the audacity to deny someone who lent him money, you know, I never borrowed it from you. But if you're coming and saying, you know, my father lent you the money, there's no reason to assume that somebody would not have the audacity to say, nah, I never borrowed it from him, because I'm not denying it to your face. You don't necessarily know what your father lent me. So the Chachamim hold that the same way like this. Let's say I come to you and say, I found your wallet. Here's your wallet with the $400 in it. You say, what? I had $800 in it. You're not a Moed B'Miktsas. I'm not a Moed B'Miktsas. I didn't have to tell you I found your wallet. When you made the announcement, did anyone find my wallet? I could have said, Bracha v'hatzlach, you should really put money in the Remeir Balanes Pushka. I was a nice guy. I told you I found the wallet. So now you claim that there was more money in it. Good for you. I'm being a nice guy. I'm a meishav aveda. The Rabbanon hold that when somebody comes and is toivei on behalf of a parent, anything you admit is like admitting, is like returning a lost object. So the Gemara wants to know, the Gemara had a kasha. Why don't we say Rabbi Shua's moida? That if somebody says, you know, your father lent up me $100 and I used up half of it, I paid back half of it, and the other half I still owe him, you're believed. So Gemara wants to know, who does that go like? According to the Rabbanan, they hold it's a Meshav Aveda. What does that mean? In other words, it has nothing to do, listen carefully, it's the reason why you're believed is not that Rabbi Yeshua is Moideh by Ein Shar Shachel Lefanecha, it's not that Rabbi Yeshua is Moideh because it's a Pesha She'as or a Pesha Hitter. Rabbi Yeshua is Moideh because of the Shita of the Rabbanon, that you're like a Meshav Aveda. The same way the Rabbanon were Mesakein, by the way, it's a Takana. That if I say I found your object, you have no right to say, well, there was more money in the wallet. No, then nobody's ever going to return a wallet. Because every time someone returns a wallet, the owner is going to say there's twice as much amount of money. And the guy who found it is going to have to pay him because he's a Moedim and Mikzas. So there's a special takana. The rabbis were Mesakein. That when you say you lost an object, that you found an object, you're believed to say this is what you found. So included in that, the Rabbanon say, is that when I say, your father lent me money, and this is, and I paid back X and Y and X, you're believed. So who does Rabbi Shua go like? If he goes like the Rabbanon, then it's Pashur, you're believed. And if he goes like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, you know Rabbi Lezer ben Rabbi Yaakov holds that you taka have to swear, even if the guy does not make a claim. If I, on my own, say that your father lent me money and I paid back half, okay, one second, battery emergency here. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov holds that even if nobody's toivei, if I on my own say that I borrowed money from your father and I paid back half, I'm chayiv. So Rabbi Shua doesn't work out according to anybody. According to the Chachamim, your pater, irrespective of Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitter, it's the takana of Meshav Aveda. And if it's Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, you're chayiv. Amar Shvua Ba, you need an oath. The Tanya Blazer ben Yaakov Omer Pa'amim Sha'adam Nishba Al Tainas Atzmai. Blazer ben Yaakov says sometimes a person swears for his own admission. Ketzad how? Manol Avicha B'Yad. If I say your father lent me $100, V'Hachaltiv Pras, I ate up half of it and I owe half. Harezeh Nishba. You have to swear. V'Zehu Shenishba Al Tainas Atzmai. This is a case. This is an example of someone who swears for on his own admission. The rabbis say, no, this is only like returning a lost object. Upater and your pater. So Gemara asks, Rebbe Lezer doesn't hold of the takana of returning a lost object? Meaning, of course, Rebbe Lezer holds when you return a lost object. If the owner says, you know, there's more money in the wallet, you're not a moed b'miktsas, and you don't have to swear, so wouldn't he agree that included in that is if I say, your father lent me $100 and I paid back. Isn't that exactly parallel and exactly analogous to where you return a lost object? So the Gemara says, no. You know when Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov says that you're chayiv to swear when you say, your father lent me $100 and I paid back half? It's talking about where you're not really a Meshav Aveda because the child is making a taina. Amar Rav, Rav said, "Betoinai katan." The katan is tainaing that you know what, my father lent you money and you didn't pay back. Says the Gemara, really? a katan's taina has any significance at all. But Amar Mar, the master said, Ein nishbaen al tainas chiresh shoita v'katan. The master said that you don't swear on the taina of a chiresh shoita v'katan. The taina of a katan is halachically insignificant. Says the Gemara, my katan. What's a katan? Gadol. A katan is really, you know what katan we're talking about? When Rav said to enter katan, we're talking about an adult. V'amai korilei katan. Delegabe mili da'aviv katanu. Because he's really unknowing regarding his father's affairs. So you know why Reb Elazar ben Yaakov holds that in this case you would have to swear? Meaning, what's the Gemara saying? The Gemara wanted to know, who does Rabbi Yeshua go like? If he goes like the Rabbanan, he's a Meshav Aveda. And if he goes like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you would have to swear. The Gemara is just clarifying, why in Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov do you have to swear? Isn't it not, where aren't you a Meshav Aveda? So the Gemara says, well, we're talking about a case where the Katan makes a Taina. But a katan's taina is halachically insignificant. The answer is it's talking about a gadol, but he really doesn't know about his father's affairs. Says Gemara, ihachi, if really a gadol is making a taina, then why would Rebbe Lezer say that sometimes a person swears al tainas atzmai for his own admission? He's not admitting it. Someone is claiming it from him. This is not tainas atzmai, but someone rather is being toivea it, namely the gadol, who may not have absolute clear knowledge about his father's affair, but this is not tainas atzmai. Iachi tainas atzmai, tainas achirim hi. So it's more true. Tainas achirim v'hoidoas atzmai. Other people are being toyein, and he's admitting. Says Gemara, Kulhi ta'anasa ta'inas achem v'adas atzmei ninu. It's always a situation, every single situation is where other people are toivea and you yourself admit it. So what would Rashi explains, what does it mean? Sometimes you swear for ta'inas atzmei. What do you mean sometimes? If nobody is toiveya, then you don't swear because you're Meshav Aveda. Elamai, someone is toiveya. So that's every single case. Every single case is where somebody makes a tviya and you admit to half. So why is it called pa'amim? What do you mean sometimes? So the Gemara is ultimately going to say, that they argue about Rabbah. Let's read the words and we'll come back to it tomorrow night. Elahacha b'de Rabbah kamifugi. Here, they argue about Rabbah. And Rashi learns, really we're talking about where the katan is toiveya. I ain't nishban al tainas katan. That's when the katan says, I gave it to you. But here he says, he's ba, Rashi says, b'tainas aviv. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say you have to swear. Let's look at the words. Da'amar Rabba, mipnei ma amra Torah moida miksa satana yishava. Why does a Rabba say, why does a Torah say that someone who admits to a partial obligation has to swear? Why does a Torah say that if I say, yeah, you tell me, you say I owe you 100, I say I only owe you 50. Why do I have to swear? Why don't I have a migu that I could have denied the whole thing? The answer is, you know, I don't have a migu. There's a chazaka that if I was lying, I wouldn't have the audacity to be koifer hakol. Chazaka in adam meyaz pana b'fnei bal choyvai. Person doesn't have the audacity to look someone who lent him money in the eye and say, no, I don't know anything. Really, I would want to deny the whole thing. The reason I didn't deny the whole thing, because I don't have the audacity. However, the question is, what about a katan? By a katan, you would have perhaps the audacity. Uvakula boy doloy delay. Really, I would admit to the whole thing. V'hai doloy delay. The reason I didn't is ki hechi delishtametle. I'm trying to slip away. V'saver, I think, ad dahavili zuzo uparanale. Until I get money, I'll pay back. So the Torah says, put a shvua on him so that he's moida. And the question is whether a person would be mayiz. Not only would a person not be mayiz to the Baal Chayv, a person would not be mayiz to the son. However, the Chachamim say no, a person would be mayiz to the son. We'll clarify this, Bezus Hashem, tomorrow. Okay, Rabbi Sait, we're going to hold it over here. Bracha v'atzlacha. Have a wonderful evening. Kol tov. Good night, bye-bye.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.